You're listening to MLB.com Extras, brought to you by the MLB.com Shop.
This is MLB.com Extras, Kansas City Royals edition. I'm Anthony Kastrovitz, and if you're a regular listener to this podcast, if you're gracious enough to join us every week, we have a new voice on with us. Jeffrey Flanagan has taken over the Royals beat for MLB.com. We welcome here. Jeffrey, you're new to MLB.com, of course, but not new to the Royals beat. Just being around Kansas City this offseason, being around the Winter Fan Fest a couple weeks back, coming off the American League pennant run, how do you compare and contrast, I guess, this year to past years in terms of the energy and the excitement level amongst the fan base?
It's pretty off the charts. You know, they had a record turnout at FanFest. Season ticket sales are up. You know, there was a lot of expectations after 2013, too, because they had their first winning season in over 10 years. And then last year, of course, no one really expected the type of ride they had, and now things are just kind of off the charts. They're just they're billboards all over town. You have a lot more talk about the Royals in the off season. Less talk about the Chiefs and KU basketball and MU basketball. So I'm sure the Royals are loving that.
Yeah, absolutely. This week, the Royals' former ace, James Shields, signs a four-year, $75 million contract with the Padres. Obviously, the situation played out much longer than a lot of people have expected, but I think we all expected going into this winter that staying in Kansas City was not an option. And he was just part of a lot of question marks this club entered the offseason with regard to their roster and their free agents, Nori Aoki and Billy Butler. What's your take on how things shook out this offseason? They signed some bounce-back candidates for the lineup, signed Emerson Volquez for the rotation, and Chris Medlin is more of a long-range option for the rotation. What's your overall take on how Dayton Moore and company handled this winter?
Well, I think the only thing they feel a little bit bad about is they couldn't get Torii Hunter here. That was clearly their first choice to replace Nori Aoki in right field. The second choice is Alex Rios. I think they're pretty happy with him. You mentioned bounce back candidates, and of course him and Kendrys Morales are both fit into that category. I think they feel like if they can get a healthy year out of Rios, you know, people kind of forget that he was leading the league in batting last June before injuries kind of took over. He's going to be an upgrade over Nori. They probably won't have to do late inning defensive replacements like they did with Nori. Morales, of course, missed all of spring training last year. That certainly disrupted his timing. They hope that he can bounce back and have the type of year he had the year before when he hit 23 homers and I think drove in 80 for Seattle. So they think, you know, Billy Butler had a down year for Billy last year, so they're expecting Morales to be an upgrade possibly there. Now the big question mark, of course, is replacing James Shields. You know, they're hoping that Eddie Volquez can give them 200-plus innings. He throws a hard sinker, a heavy ball, pretty good for that ballpark. But it's a big hole to replace in the clubhouse because James was such an inspirational leader in that clubhouse and really kind of turned the culture around here to a winning culture. So he will be missed and be very, very hard to replace.
And who would have thought James Shields and Will Myers would end up on the same team when all was said and done?
That's happened before, I guess. I just read somewhere where that's happened a couple times before, where guys got, you know, traded for each other and end up on the same team. So,
yeah, we've seen it all. We've seen guys traded for themselves at various points in baseball history. It's a wacky world we live in. You know, you mentioned, you know, Shields, you lose that presence in the rotation, and obviously the things he meant to this organization will linger long after he's gone. Just the work ethic he instilled in some of these younger guys. But, you know, the two young guys who are a focal point in this rotation now, Danny Duffy and Yordano Ventura. As we look ahead to the spring training camp in Surprise, Arizona, you know, Duffy had the shoulder issue late in the season last year. Ventura midseason had some elbow issues and probably more importantly, a huge increase in workload from one year to the next. So with those two guys in particular, do you think the Royals – are they going to be careful with those guys in spring training, maybe put them on a different timetable than others or a different workload than others or that might have been in previous years?
Yeah, that's a great question. I think, you know, they're probably going to tiptoe a little bit with Danny Duffy. They were concerned about he was a little bit concerned about his shoulder too and kind of babied it down the stretch and wasn't used very much in the postseason. So that's going to be something to follow in spring training. I don't think that's going to be the case for Yordano. His situation last year was more just a case of just the achiness that you feel a lot of times when you pitch. And his MRIs came back clean every time they took him. And I think they look at Ace as a guy who's going to throw 200 innings for them for however long he can. He's young, he's strong, he's getting stronger every year. He's really learned how to pitch thanks to listening to James Shields for the last 2 years. So I don't think there's going to be much of a concern for him. With Duffy, if they do lose him at any time this year, they don't have a lot of depth in terms of the rotation. You mentioned Chris Medlin earlier, too. He's a guy that they're very excited about, another bounce-back candidate, and he's not going to really be ready probably till June or so. Hochever is back with the team after missing a whole year. He could be a candidate if he bounces back strong to be a rotation guy again if they needed it, because, as you know, they're pretty stocked in the bullpen.
Pitchers and catchers report February 19th, first workout on the 20th, position players on February 24th, first full workout for the full squad is the next day. Jeffrey Flanagan will be down there covering for MLB.com. What's your number one question mark for this team going into spring camp? What needs to be settled or answered or addressed?
I think still the offense, and they were down near the bottom of the league in just about every offensive category. This team won games last year with a very small margin for error. It was the basic formula was get great starting pitching for six or seven innings, and then turn it over to the HDH trio, and they were just dominant. You know, they were 72-1 when they had the lead after seven innings, and I think something like 75-4 after six. So Ned Yost was able to reduce the games to six inning games and not need a whole lot of offense. But now you're going to be missing Shields. You know, you might have some injury issues with Duffy. The offense is really going to have to step up and score some more runs. And the two guys at the corner infield spots are going to be the guys they're going to lean on a lot. Hosmer and Moose, who both had terrific Octobers, and they're hoping that those will carry over to the regular season and those guys can really turn their careers around and be an offensive force, because I think that's what they're going to need. That's what everybody's going to be looking at in the spring, is how will this team hit?
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, those guys certainly stepped up on that postseason stage. Speaking of Hosmer and Moustakas, they stepped up on that postseason stage. So, big question there. Can they translate that to a full season? I mean, look, also offensively, you know, they add some, we mentioned the bounce back candidates and the power they can possibly bring to this lineup. But it seems to me to be all the more important when you've got Alex Gordon coming off a wrist surgery. And we'll certainly be monitoring how he progresses in that recovery.
Yeah, and I talked to him just a couple weeks ago, and he wasn't concerned at all. He thought he might miss maybe the first week of spring training, maybe a couple games, but he expects to be full go by, I'd say the second week of March. I don't think that's going to be a big setback for him. It wasn't a major, major surgery. The tendon just kind of popped a little bit out of place, and they put it back where it's supposed to be, and right. He was feeling much better about it. You know, he did taper off. He won't blame the injury, of course, for his numbers falling off late in the year, but I'm sure that had a lot to do with it. And another guy, too, that we haven't talked about is Sal Perez, who wore down the stretch and was used almost every day from August 31st to the end of the postseason. And his numbers just tanked, basically just because he just got tired and worn out. So I think that's another question for spring training, is how do they get back up Eric Katz into the lineup a little bit more often to rest Sal so he can be more effective at the plate, because he was swinging at planes overhead by the end of the year. He just had no idea what he was doing at the plate, and they can use his production too.
Yeah, that's a great point. And then Sal Perez, of course, went on to play in Japan as well. So there's no let up for that guy last year. He caught a lot of innings here and abroad. So one last topic I want to hit you on, Jeffrey, before we go. You know, Brandon Finnegan, his story was so awesome last year, coming up in September and boosting an already great bullpen in a big way in September and October. What does 2015 hold for him in terms of his role?
I think that's going to be probably the most interesting individual story in camp. There aren't any roster spots really that people are fighting for, except for maybe one, maybe two bullpen spots, and that's where Brandon would fit in. He's a guy who didn't really fear anything because I didn't think he knew any better. He didn't know the situation he was really in last year, so he didn't really fear it as much. Like, only guy in history to play in the College World Series and then World Series itself too. And he was terrific in September. Had a few hiccups in the postseason, but he's got dynamic stuff. And right now they don't have a dominant lefty in the bullpen. They really got away with it last year because they didn't need it with all the terrific back end guys they had. But if Finnegan can come through in the spring and show them that he can handle being a left-handed situational guy or a one-inning guy, I tend to think they'll, because they're in a win-now mode, they would stick him on the 25-man roster and use him effectively in the bullpen. If they don't feel that that can happen, then he probably goes to Double-A and stretches out as a starter and then becomes hopefully a rotation guy within a year or two, because he's already experienced the game at the highest level on the biggest stage, so he shouldn't be awed by anything down the road. But it'd be a very, very interesting story to follow this spring.
Absolutely. Great stuff from Jeffrey Flanagan. Not bad for his MLB Extras debut, huh? I want to thank him for joining us, and thank you all for tuning in. This has been MLB.com Extras, Kansas City Royals edition.
Visit the official online shop of Major League Baseball at MLB.com/shop for the largest selection of authentic caps, T-shirts, jerseys, hoodies, collectibles, and more. Get your gear straight from the source, the MLB.com shop.